May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. When I was in fifth grade, my sister gave me a new backpack for Christmas. And this wasn't just any old backpack. This was a brand new, high-quality, North Face brand backpack. And it was bright red, my favorite color. I started carrying it to school that January, and that backpack carried my books and binders the next year and the next, through middle school, all the way through till my high school graduation. And then it went with me to Austin and carried me through 4 years of college. By the time I graduated from UT, that backpack had seen its fair share of bus rides and bike rides. It had been slid under desks onto the gritty linoleum floors of 5 different schools. The red material was threadbare. It was time to retire my old, faithful backpack. It might seem silly, but it was hard for me to let that backpack go. It had come to mean something to me. See, I was one of those kids who took school really seriously. Even as early as sixth grade, I was driven to succeed in school. I worked way too hard, I studied too much, worried over every piece of homework until it was perfect. Making good grades in school was deeply important to me. Looking back, I can see that it was a little ridiculous for me to take school this seriously at such a young age when I should have been having more fun with friends. It was funny that I let it stress me out, but at the time, the pressure was very real to me, and I let that stress weigh down on me, literally. I'm pretty sure that my backpack weighed more than I did. It was so full of books and papers. I would drag it around from class to class throughout the day. As it got heavier, with more and more homework assignments, until finally the bell rang and I would get on the school bus and head for home. Every day when I got home from school, I would walk in the back door and immediately drop that heavy backpack, letting it slide off my shoulders and hit the wood floor with a thump. It felt so good to be free of that thing for a while. And every day, my mom would be waiting for me at the kitchen table. She would smile, always glad to see me, and give me a big hug. Then she would make me a snack, usually goldfish and Dr. Pepper, very healthy, and sit down at the table with me while I told her about my day, the good and the bad. There was nothing extraordinary about this after-school ritual, a mother greeting her daughter. But the impact on me, day after day, year after year, was profound. Because what my mom was giving me was unconditional love. When I walked through that door and dropped my backpack behind me, it didn't matter how good of a student I was, how smart I was, how good my grades were. My mom didn't care about any of that. She was glad to see me because I was her child and she loved me. Simple as that. When I was a junior in high school, I ran for student council president. I was really invested in student council and I wanted so badly to win, but I didn't. I lost. And I came home from school that afternoon feeling like a failure, feeling embarrassed. And still, my mother was there to embrace me with open arms. She loved me no less. This is the kind of love that Jesus offers us when he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Jesus loves us unconditionally, regardless of how successful we are, how impressive we are, even of how good or moral we are. I may not be in school anymore, but I still feel that relentless pressure to prove myself, to earn the respect or the love of others. I would imagine that most of you feel this too, though it looks a little different for each of us. We all have voices that tell us that if we want to be loved, if we want to be accepted or embraced by others, then we need to do better, to do more or to be better. For some of us, this means being successful in school or at work. For others, it means making a certain amount of money. Some of us only feel worthy if we are pretty enough or well-dressed enough or in good enough shape. Sometimes we try to earn others' love by being funny or helpful, by being of use to someone. We are all walking around with these heavy burdens on our backs, and we are tired. Well, our gospel has good news for us today. Jesus doesn't care about any of that stuff that we think is so important. We don't have to do a thing to earn Jesus' love. Jesus says, "Stop struggling, stop trying. I want you to rest. Put down all that you're carrying. I just want you." Jesus loves us just as we are, no matter what. As the psalm we read today says so beautifully, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great kindness. The Lord is loving to everyone, and his compassion is over all his works." Like a parent and her child, God loves us no matter what. In the presence of God, we can drop our burdens, drop our pretenses, and just be ourselves, fully human as God made us. In the arms of Christ is where we can find true rest, rest for our souls. And we can also be that place of rest for others. We can be people who love our friends, our spouses, our children, our neighbors, unconditionally. We can be a church that offers rest to the weary soul. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me," Jesus says. We can learn from Jesus how to look upon each person with compassion, how to be gentle and humble in heart, how to love freely without expectation. I'll end with a blessing that was spoken by St. Clare of Assisi, and that is sometimes used as the final blessing after communion. "Live without fear. Your Creator has made you holy, has always protected you, and loves you as a mother. Go in peace to follow the good road, and may God's blessing be with you always. Amen."